Welcome to Nurse Educator Podcast. I'm Marilyn Orman, Editor-in-Chief of Nurse Educator. With me today is Dr. Amy Koch. Amy is an assistant professor in the School of Nursing, and she has an area of expertise in palliative care. But today we're going to be talking about asking about pronouns. And this is really on our minds. A lot of us in nursing education, we're just not sure what to do. So Amy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise about pronouns and how faculty should help students and how faculty should approach it themselves.
Thank you.
Let's talk about nurses, nurse educators, and nursing students. They may care for transgender and gender non-binary patients in their career. What ways are important for us to implement for their care? So just share some really important principles for the listeners to take away.
Yeah, so the transgender and gender non-binary population is vulnerable to hate crimes, discrimination, and inequities. This is even in healthcare settings. One major barrier to safe healthcare is the scarcity of providers who are adequately prepared to care for a person who's transgender or who is gender non-binary. And we're seeing maybe more of this, likely due to social media or seeing laws that are passed to protect patients. Adequately prepared providers understand the context of patients' lives and are able to deliver more comprehensive, compassionate, and patient-centered healthcare, which is really important to care for folks who are vulnerable. Healthcare team members require focused training regarding the disparities and needs of folks in the LGBTQIA+ community, which includes transgender and gender non-binary individuals. Because when adequate training is not provided, let's say in nursing education, then healthcare workers may directly contribute to experiences of discrimination that this population may experience, leading to an increased negative patient outcomes or experience in healthcare. And we know through research that there are higher rates of depression, death by suicide, homelessness, along with later diagnosis of many conditions like cancer because of discrimination that transgender and gender non-binary individuals experience. So these factors show us that it's really important for us to build trust with individuals who are transgender or gender non-binary to improve health outcomes.
What do you think holds faculty back from asking students and care providers back from asking about pronouns? What holds people back, Amy?
The things that come to mind are when people are unaware. Many folks may just be unaware. Faculty, staff, and even students are unaware that there are more than just he or she pronouns. Other things that hold people back, I found, is fear and bias. Although it may feel foreign at first, it is important to ask about pronouns. However, it's inappropriate for healthcare providers or nurses or nurse educators to ask prying questions about gender or sexual orientation, and often that may suit their own curiosity. It's essential that faculty members or nurse educators have the ability to ask each student their pronouns so that the students build this comfort with asking patients what their pronouns are. And this will help build the highest quality of healthcare for transgender individuals. A way to start to make this less foreign for faculty or nurse educators is to start our conversations meeting people. For example, I can say, hi, my name is Amy. I use pronouns, the she, her, hers, or she pronouns. What pronouns do you use? And then a person can tell me, and this can be really critical for clinical instructors too, to model this behavior when they have nursing students in the hospital, to introduce ourselves first with our name and pronouns, and then ask our patients, what pronouns do you use? And we want to refrain from saying what pronouns do you prefer, because that indicates a preference rather than just what it is.
And I think I wanted to just really reiterate that. I thought your example was excellent. And saying to a student or to a patient, what pronouns do you use would be a good approach. Is that correct?
Yeah, and sometimes some students may not have experience with this. So we can say, my name is Dr. Koch, and I use the she pronouns. What pronouns do you use? For example, she, he, they, or another that I did not say.
Because that's a good example, too.
Because some students may have others that we older faculty don't even know about yet. I think it's evolving.
Okay. Can you share a couple of examples that a nurse educator could use to teach this to students? Help students how to ask pronouns of patients and maybe of each other.
Yeah, that's really important because knowledge and having learning opportunities for students can help alleviate some of this fear or fear of making mistakes or unintentionally causing harm or even creating an unsafe space for a vulnerable person who is transgender or gender non-binary. I think the first step in equipping faculty and clinical instructors is to encourage them to recognize any cultural biases, prejudice, or assumptions of their own, after which students should be instructed on utilizing safe language. So first, looking for any biases I may have. If I may have a bias that, you know, there's no other pronouns besides she and he, well, that the student will pick up on that if I have that bias, or a patient will pick up on that if my student has that bias. So recognizing that, I think, is the first step. And we can do that with different trainings or modules or online learning sites. And once nurse educators are well equipped with how to use culturally sensitive language, we can be leaders in teaching this to our students. And sometimes, to be honest, students can help guide us too if they have some knowledge we don't have, if they're feeling comfortable enough to speak up, and that they'll have that comfort if we set the foundation for how to offer like holistic respect for each other. And after we equip students with this culturally sensitive and inclusive communication tools, we can provide them with a risk-free environment through simulation or role play in which they can learn to provide care for transgender and gender non-binary populations to prepare them for successful future in-clinic or in-hospital encounters.
Thank you so much. I thought that was really helpful as a faculty member. I guess now I'm wondering, what are some strategies that people can use if they use the wrong pronouns with a transgender or gender non-binary person, or if they witness it?
That's a really great question, because it's bound to happen at some point in time, because we're human and we will make mistakes. First, I think it's important to not get defensive. So if we misgender someone or use the wrong gender or pronouns after we've already been told, we want to not get defensive. Secondly, we want to apologize as soon as we're able to. Tell the person that we misgendered or that a student misgendered or if a faculty misgendered a student that we're sorry. Some ways to do that are, I'm sorry for misgendering you, Kai, or I'm sorry for misgendering you, Amy, or say, oh, I remember your pronouns are she. I'm sorry about that. And if the person that we misgendered corrects us, it's important for us to express gratitude for their effort. If we notice someone else misgendering someone, it's appropriate to gently correct them without further embarrassing the individual who's been misgendered. So this means saying something like, Taylor uses the pronoun they, and then moving on. If someone corrects you or if we correct someone for misgendering, apologies to the person we're misgendering is important, then thanking the person who pointed it out to us. So let's say, Dr. Orman, you witnessed me misgendering someone. You can say, Amy, Taylor uses the pronoun they, and I can thank you and apologize to the person I misgendered and then move on. We do not want to get defensive or try to rationalize why we used the wrong pronoun. And strategies to help are practicing out loud, or writing it out, and trying to refer to the person by their name until we're feeling better equipped about their pronouns. So if we have a student or we have a patient who is a pronoun that we're not used to, we can practice by using their name or practice by taking time in our office or encouraging students to take time in the break room to practice before they go work with the patient. Or for us faculty, if we're working with a student who uses pronouns that may feel foreign to us, we can practice so that we don't cause harm to our students.
Thank you so much for sharing these examples. I think your explanation was so helpful for faculty, but I also appreciate you provided examples of what to say, what not to say, and how to respond in situations that I think our listeners will find very helpful. This concludes the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.